Rockstar status here on the Travis Thomas Experience. Taking your phone calls, 617-779-7937. If you want a party for your baseball team, this is the show for you. Travis Thomas Experience on Twitter and IG. I mean, red hot Red Sox right now. I said to start the show today, I'm here till 6. I said to start the show today, I came on right after the game and I said, listen, I came into this weekend with just absolute piss poor expectations for this series against the Astros. I really did. I felt like all the air in my sail was let out after that trade deadline, and I thought the team would respond accordingly. I thought it would be flat. We've seen that happen, by the way. Past couple years, team does nothing at the deadline, and it sends messages to the clubhouse, and then you come out, and they are just flat, aren't they? Like a flat tire. No energy at Fenway. I thought the Astros, a team leading their division, a team that looks like a bona fide playoff team, would win this series. And sure enough, it was anything but. I mean, honestly, Cooper Criswell was a starter on Friday, and I thought, oh, great, here we go. Awesome, they're going to lose this game. And he did a tremendous job. That team hung around and forced extras. Roman Anthony walked it off. Yesterday, you know, it was an intense game. Fisticuffs almost get thrown. It was awesome. And they, you know, the bats showed up and just beat the hell out of the Astros. And then today, you know, Correa hits a home run. I'm like, oh, man. And sure enough, that didn't matter either. I mean, Giolito was nails. He was shoving. And here goes this team. You got to believe, don't you? 617-779-7937. I mean, how about Giolito the past few months? He's like, yeah, you don't have to go get another, you know, star arm here. I'm the guy. Crochet, Bayo, and me. Bring it on. And then we'll see what Dustin May looks like on Wednesday. Let's go to Reed on line one. Reed, how about those Red Sox, man? Welcome to the Red Sox party.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I think Breslow's done an incredible job. I think you think about free agency, he crushed it. 4 All-Stars. Name a GM who did that. Getting rid of Devers, essential for club culture. Look at these young kids come together. And then at the trade deadline, they flipped a guy who was a Rule 5 casualty they wouldn't hold on to anyway in order to get an important relief arm. And then they flipped a very unathletic corner outfielder that was redundant in the system to get May. They've had 2 incredible drafts of pitching, and they're developing pitching. You do not want to blow it chasing this year. You spent all this time building this system up. You have the young positional players. Now you've drafted the pitchers. You know, when you look at the Phillies and you look at the middle of the order of the Dodgers, we don't have those players yet, but yeah, we will. And this wasn't the year to go all in. This was the year to season the rookies, okay, and hold on to our assets for the offseason.
Great call, Reed. Appreciate it. And I've said, you know, ad nauseum, we're hard on Alex Cora. We're hard on Craig Breslow. We're hard on all these people. But we also need to give credit where it's due when it's due, right? I mean, I can't be hard on you. And then when you do a great job, you know, I'm not. So, look, I'll give props across the board here, no doubt. I still, though, even with everything you said, and I agree with you, by the way, I was called a hot take artist when I suggested that this team this year winning the way they are is just icing on the cake. I think the cake is this team may be ahead of schedule. I agree with you in that they were always looking to next season and beyond, but this team is just scrappy. The DNA of this team, they are scrappy. So I'm with you on that. Where I defer, I still think Breslow could have done more at the deadline. I do. I still think he could have done more. Let's go to Josh online too. Josh, what's happening? Welcome to the Red Sox party here on the Travis Thomas Experience.
Hey, TT. Let's go Sox.
Yeah.
I've called you a couple years ago talking about how we had a team that, you know, never did their homework but always tested well. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this team here is exactly the opposite. They are studious. They are young and hungry, but they have never taken the final exam. So when they get to the playoffs this year, and they lose because we don't have those guys in the middle of the lineup quite yet. They're not quite there. It's going to be a good thing because they're going to go back, they're going to study, and they're going to be ready for the next time they got to take that test. Because these young guys, let me tell you, they've got the spirit, and they've got me hooked, so I'm excited.
Yeah, they're a fun team, Josh, no doubt about it, and they got that dog in them. Let's go to Billy on line three. Billy, welcome into our Red Sox party here on the Travis Thomas Experience. Thanks for stopping through.
Travis, my guy, I was back in the house today.
Yeah!
It was electric once again. Hey, we got to focus on one thing and one thing only, other than winning, obviously. We got to lock Bregman up.
Yes.
Hate that man.
I agree. Pay Roman Anthony while you're at it. I thought that after the deadline, like, all right, if you're not going to get anyone here at the deadline, then at least pay the guys we have. Appreciate the call, man. Hey, this Red Sox party is rocking until 6 o'clock. I'm just telling you right now. 617-779-7937. I know many of you that were at the game today. Give me a call, 617-779-7937. If you want to talk Red Sox baseball, call me. I think I'm going to get my wish and get a playoff game at Fenway finally for my time here in Boston. At Travis Thomas Experience on Twitter and IG as well. I want to transition to football now and talk Patriots with you for the next hour at least. You know, before I even get to the Patriots, I saw the news this week that I guess the NFL Network and Red Zone and all that has sold to ESPN for all the money in the world, and my heart just broke. I mean, there is nothing more that I love than sitting around Sundays watching the Patriots and watching Red Zone and drinking all the beers and eating all the wings. There's just nothing better. And I think Red Zone does a tremendous job of, you know, they always say commercial-free football and all that. Even when they work in commercials, it's done in a tasteful way. It's like they'll give you the octo box or they'll give you, you know, split screen. You can still see the games and you see one stupid Verizon commercial or something. And they do a good job of not forcing it down your face. And you know as well as I do that ESPN's going to ruin all that, don't you? It's going to be commercials. They better not get rid of Scott Hansen because I'll lose it. But it will likely – they're going to figure out a way to get Stephen A. involved. They're going to figure out a way to get Pat McAfee involved. You know it and I know it. And I think it speaks to the larger issue of the NFL with, yes, it is king in our country, no doubt about it. But let's face it, the NFL is fast food now. It used to be – a five-star restaurant. Now it's fast food. The product's not the same. It's packaged conveniently. And, you know, after you consume it, you feel gross, right? Like after you eat McDonald's or Burger King or any of that nonsense, you're in the moment, you're starving. You're like, I'll hit this drive-thru, I'll get this value meal, and it'll check a box. It's fast, it's convenient, it's cheap, but after you consume it, you feel like trash, don't you? That's what I feel like now. The more and more football is getting like saturated. Like you essentially have a game every night of the week, it feels like now, don't you? It used to be Sundays and Mondays. Now it's, you know, once you get towards the end of the season, you get in on Fridays and Saturdays, and it's just like there's a Thursday night game. Like, when is this going to end? I mean, I'm going to talk college football before I get out of here because I'm a junkie for it. But think about college football now. The NIL, transfer portal, six-year seniors. Like, I mean, high school kids are being offered money, you know, to come play college ball. And then they transfer two or three times before they're even, you know, before their sophomore year, it feels like. I mean, honestly, like all this stuff, these trainers are making more money than Bill Gates training nine-year-olds. Like, it's just a mess. Football is it was once built. I know I sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but think about this. Football was once built on, like, the foundation, the principles of toughness and commitment and grit. and finish what you started, no matter the cost. These are all things I was coached on. I mean, honestly, now these kids, you might as well just, I mean, if you're a boss out there, if you're a future employer, these kids are different. They are. These young men now that are coming up playing these sports, they've learned how to quit or to you know, turn their back on their team when times get tough and go somewhere else. The grass is greener on the other side of that fence, and they are jumping the fence. It's true. Now, with that being said, I can't wait for football to start. I mean, honestly, you look at the Patriots right now. I mean, just look at what Mike Vrabel's building. Think about what he's doing here. I mean, this team just had a scrimmage over the weekend, right? Gillette was like Friday Night Lights vibe. It was. He had the coaches draft their teams for the scrimmage. It was fully padded. You know, it was a closed game environment. Vrabel said there'll be some phantom penalties thrown into the scrimmage. And just like clockwork, Ramondre Stevenson, a scrimmage with no tackling, he fumbled twice. You can't make this up. I mean, so I love what Vrabel's building there, a very old school football vibe. I love it. And then, you know, if you're keeping track of all the drama going around the league, I mean, you have absolutely three studs you could get right now. Three studs available to you. Terry McLaurin, Trey Hendrickson there in Cincinnati, and then none juicier, none more dramatic than Michael Parsons in Dallas. I mean, are you following this stuff? Jerry Jones, who I think is just losing his marbles, his latest quotes, quote, what y'all don't know is what I offered him, and it's a hell of a lot more than you think I did. That's what you don't know. But my point is, I reached. Make no mistake about it, I reached. So Jerry Jones saying he's already offered Micah the moon and the stars and the sun in the sky, and Micah said, get lost. In fact, Micah wrote a book. He wrote a quote that felt like a book to the boss, to the Dallas fans, saying, quote, I unfortunately no longer want to be here. I no longer want to be held to closed door negotiations without my agent present. I no longer want shots taken at me for getting injured while laying it on the line for the organization, our fans, and my teammates. I no longer want narratives created and spread to the media about me. I had purposely stayed quiet in hopes of getting something done. That is over. Micah Parsons now saying publicly, get me the hell out of here. I don't want to be here. Jerry Jones saying, I've already offered him everything. I mean, this is getting ugly. Now, you got to do this. You know, if you're going to go after Micah Parsons and you're the New England Patriots, you are giving up the farm to get him. But it may be worth it. You may look at it like, hey, it's worth getting Micah Parsons, because every team not named Dallas will be picking up that phone, calling Dallas for the services of Micah Parsons. But let's just face it. You have the most cap space in the league, the Patriots, okay? And if you can get Micah Parsons and you can keep some of these dogs, you would have Micah Parsons, Christian Barmore, Milton Williams, Keon White, oh my God, Harold Landry, like you overnight now go to an absolute menace of a defense. I mean, if you could get Michael Parsons involved, you have Christian Gonzalez and Carlton Davis on the outside. No one's beating you, bro. You are a playoff team this year and beyond forever and ever. Amen. There are also rumors that the Patriots consider moving up to draft Michael Parsons in 2021. So there's some people you have to believe in the building that love this guy and have loved him forever. Now, the price would be a little cheaper to go get a Trey Hendrickson from Cincinnati. They can't afford to pay him. So you could go get a Trey Hendrickson from Cincinnati and it'd be a little bit cheaper. He's older than Micah. You wouldn't have to give up as much to get Micah, but my God, he could have the same impact. He's had 17 and a half sacks the last two seasons consistently. That's insane. So Trey Hendrickson, although older, although more mileage, he's not going to cost you as much as Micah, both in the trade market and in what you would pay him. But he could have the same impact. It just wouldn't be as long because he's older. So, you know, that's more short-term thinking. But you can make that deal happen. The Bengals have yet to pay him. Terry McLaurin, we have well documented all of that going on with him. The Commanders, everyone down in D.C. tells me, Trev, relax, they're going to get this deal done. You know, this is posturing with Terry McLaurin requesting a trade the same way Micah Parsons has. And we have, by the way, seen players request trades, and it's a bargaining chip, and it gets a deal done. I'm not suggesting that won't be the case in Dallas or Washington. What I am suggesting is if you're the Patriots, you better pick up the phone and get involved and get on the phone and call some of these people. If you can get Terry, all of a sudden your wide receiving room with Stephon Diggs, Terry McLaurin, Pop Douglas, that's a way different vibe. That's a way different vibe than what you have now. You know, so if you can get him, call him. If you can get a Michael Parsons, you're going to give up a lot of draft capital. Your first round picks for the next several years are gone. But if you get a Michael Parsons on this defense, watch out. We don't know what could happen there. That looks like a pretty dominant defense for a decade, doesn't it? If you don't want to give up all of that for a Michael Parsons, call Cincinnati. See if you can get a Trey Hendrickson. There would be less there on the trade market in terms of compensation, and you would pay less. You have the most cap space in the league. I think you could do two out of three of these deals. I really do. Maybe I'm ambitious. 617-779-7937. Tom, we'll take these two real quick, and then we'll get John Lyons. Let's go to Paulie on line two, wants to talk Patriots. Paulie, what's happening, brother?
Hey, what do you say, Trav? I want to build the defense now.
Yeah.
Because Josh McDaniels is the offensive coordinator. He's going to figure out game plan from week to week. Got a game plan against teams. We have a plethora of receivers. The blocking's improved. He's going to have ample protection. The quarterback. We're going to be fine. We'll score plenty of points. We got to stiffen the defense now, and we need help at right defensive end. We need help at linebacker. I wanted to pick up that guy out of Philadelphia and ended up over in Sweat that ended up over in Arizona. I wanted him. That would have finished it off nicely. We still would have needed a little bit of linebacker help, but he's the low-hanging fruit. He's the guy that you can get. They don't want to pay him. They want to trade him. Said they tantalize them with one of our extra or two maybe our extra receivers for Burrows. You know, their quarterback to throw to. They don't. That'll be the easiest, the low hanging fruit to pluck that we can get, and then you can start working on Parsons, which is more of a long shot. But you gotta pick up Hendrickson. You gotta. Yeah. You build from the inside out and from the front line back. You want to build your front right. line, your defensive tackles, your nose tackle, then your ends. We have everybody except for the ends, and then you go to your linebackers.
Yeah, Paulie, especially in this league now, you have to rush the passer. You can't touch these receivers anymore. I'm not saying corners aren't important. We see how good Christian Gonzalez is, but you have to get after the quarterback. I appreciate the call. Let's go to Tim on line three. Tim, what's happening, brother? Welcome to the experience.
Travis, you're the man. You're on a roll, brother. You are on a roll. If the Pats don't listen to you right now, I don't care. They got to put their heads together because they're going to be an average team. They get those two guys you just talked about, Parsons and McLaurin. They're set for years. All they have to do is go to free agency, pick up a tackle or a guard if that's what they need. But they don't need to be plucking anybody else. They can just do their draft picks and be good for the next few years. They're going to put them over the top right now.
Absolutely.
If we can get those guys. Don't be the average team, man. Be like Frisco.
Yep.
Spend some money. L.A. Rams, somebody else like that.
Yep.
Or just go get them.
Got to be aggressive. Thanks, Tim. Let's go to Steve. Steve, you get the final word. We're still having a Red Sox party here, brother. Welcome into the Red Sox party on the experience. Go ahead, Steve. Got to make it quick.
Yeah, I just want to say, I think the Sox are listening to me when I called your morning show. I said they needed long relief. That's what they did. I'm just saying.
Hey, you called it, Steve. You're a genius. 617-779-7937. Get in here. We're having a Red Sox party, and we're talking Patriots on the Travis Thomas Experience. Follow me, Travis Thomas Experience, on Twitter and Instagram. John Lyons of WEEI next. Travis Thomas Experience on WEEI. Here's what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox completed the sweep against the Astros this afternoon. Giolito went 8 full innings, allowing 1 earned run while striking out 4 along the way. The Astros got the scoring started in the 4th inning with a solo shot, but then it was all Red Sox after that. The Sox scored 6 in the 4th to blow the game wide open, and they held onto the lead all the way until the end. Sox win 6-1. The Sox are back in action tomorrow night against the Kansas City Royals. Listen to that game right here on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Coverage starts at 6:10 with the Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcan. Brian Bayer was on the mound for the Sox. First pitch at 7:10. And minority Celtics owner Steve Pagliuca has made a deal to purchase the Connecticut Sun and plans to relocate them to Boston by 2027. So the WNBA is coming to Boston. I'm Tom Crisafulli, and that's your trending here on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Turn it up, Tom! I know John Lyons is partying with me. Travis Thomas Experience here on the Red Sox party. Let's go. Taking your phone call, 617-779-7937. Talking Red Sox all show long. I'm here until 6, but we started talking Patriots in our last segment. Let's keep it going with John Lyons of WEEI. You know, since I've started here, everyone's been so great to me at WEEI over the years. John Lyons is one of them. Absolute cool dude. So nice. We've been trying to link up for a while. So it's good to have you on, John, on my show. Welcome to the experience, brother.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be on, Trev. And I think this is my first time ever on the Travis Thomas Experience. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Woo! All right, so obviously I'm going to talk Patriots with you, but I want to start with the Sox because we've been partying all day around this baseball team, completing the sweep of the Astros. Certainly after that trade deadline Thursday night, I did not see this sweep coming at all. That's why it feels so damn good. Can you even believe this current run, brother?
I'd say, Trav, this is the biggest series win and biggest series overall they've had all season this year, but really in the past 3 years, this is the biggest series they've had. And the reason I say that is we were all focused on coming out of the All-Star break, right? They had those games against the Cubs, the Phillies, the Dodgers, right? 9 games against World Series contenders right out of the break. And they went 4-5, which is not great, but it's not bad. They kind of treaded water against, again, some of the best teams in the majors. But if you look at this stretch at the beginning of August, so they had these 3 games against Houston, then they're going to have 3 games coming up against the Padres, then 3 more against Houston. So that's 9 more games against World Series contenders in the first 2 weeks of August after the trade deadline. And how many times over the past few years have we seen them either do nothing or be ineffective at the trade deadline and then fall apart right after or within a couple weeks? So this 2-week stretch to me is the most important stretch of the year. Can they get out of this stretch? And I know they have some games, they got the Royals and whatnot in between there, but these 9 games over the first 2 weeks, 6 against Houston, 3 against San Diego. Can they have a winning record in those 9 games? And they've already started it with the sweep of Houston, which I think is terrific for them as they move forward. And don't look now, right? They have the same amount of wins as the Houston Astros here on August 3rd.
Yeah, it's crazy. John Lyons at WEEI joining us here on the Travis Thomas Experience. Speaking of sweeps, brother, I just want to update you because this just went final. The Yankees were swept this weekend in Miami. That game goes final. Marlins win 7-3. Duh, Yankees lose.
Yankees lose.
Yankees lose. lose. Do it again. Tom, the Yankees lose.
Yankees lose.
And now we're talking about a team in the Red Sox, Trav, that is squarely in second place in the AL East, right? And they're in the driver's seat. Not only are they in the driver's seat for a wild card, but we're talking 3.5 games as of right now behind the Blue Jays for the AL East. Now, we'll see if they come to regret not adding more at the deadline. Like, that still could come back to bite them. But that's why I said these 2 weeks are so critical, and they've started it off in an awesome way with this sweep of Houston.
All right, let's talk about both before I get into Patriots with you. We'll talk deadline and we'll talk postseason. Let's start with the postseason. As it stands right now, do you believe, it sounds like you believe this team will make it, so let's skip that. Do you believe this team will go on a deep playoff run? As it pertains to winning the division, although it would feel great to come back from the depths of hell like this team has and win the division, I think I'd prefer a wild card based off of what I've seen in the past few years since that format has changed. It seems like the wild card teams do better than your division winners. Do you believe, wild card or otherwise, that this Red Sox team can go on a postseason run, assuming that you think they get in?
So I think it's matchup dependent with the Red Sox, because I still feel like they're a starting pitcher short if they go up against Detroit or even the Yankees. And I know they just swept the Astros, but come playoff time, that's a team with two all-stars in their rotation, Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez, two all-star caliber guys, and plenty of World Series experience in their lineup as well. So I think, like, if they play Toronto in an ALDS, let's just say, I think they would beat the Blue Jays in an ALDS. I just think if they get Detroit, who has Tarik Skubal, but also Casey Mize and Reese Olson. Mize was an all-star in that rotation. Reese Olson would have been if he didn't miss a few weeks in June with an injury. Prior to that, he was trending towards being an all-star. The Yankees have Max Fried. That Carlos Rodon was an all-star this year as well. They have Cody Bellinger and Jazz Chisholm, who are having, in Bellinger's case, almost a career resurgence, if you will. There, Chisholm's obviously put up good power numbers. And at some point, Aaron Judge is going to have a good postseason. I don't know if it's going to be this year or next year. He's just too good a player to keep having poor performances in the postseason. So I think for the Red Sox, they're matchup dependent. I wouldn't like them in a series against Detroit, because I don't think the Red Sox have the pitching in the rotation to stand up to Detroit. Similar deal with the Yankees. I think that's kind of a wash pitching-wise, and maybe slight edge to the Yankees. Houston, after this weekend, I feel better about the Red Sox against Houston in a playoff series. I still think that could be a coin flip if they ended up playing. So I think if they get the right matchup, I could see them going to the ALCS. But if they don't get the right matchup, then they'll be in trouble earlier in the playoffs.
Oh, I need it injected into my veins. I've yet to experience playoffs in Fenway, and I need that. Let's go to the trade deadline now. We're talking with John Lyons of WEEI here on the Travis Thomas Experience, as we're having a Red Sox party until 6. If you want to get involved, 617-779-7937. Call me. You can also message me or follow me on social media at Travis Thomas Experience on Twitter and IG. Let me ask you about the trade deadline. I was disappointed. You've alluded to it a few times. I imagine you felt the same way. But you could also make a case. I had a caller call up earlier and say, hey, you know, the Red Sox aren't getting enough credit and Craig Breslow for being disciplined and not panicking and making a stupid move at the deadline. Sort of your deadline takeaways. I hear you saying they should have at least got another high-end starting pitcher. I agree with you. I thought they should have got a first baseman with a little pop in the bat as well. I like Naylor. He ended up going to Seattle. Sort of your takeaways from the deadline, brother, before I ask you about the Patriots.
Yeah, it's pretty similar to yours. It felt disappointing to me. And look, Dustin May, you know, maybe there's some potential there, but at best, he's a game four starter in the playoffs, you know, depending on how the series break, like at best. And like Steven Matz is a pretty good, you know, he's an okay arm out of the bullpen, but you already had a pretty good bullpen anyway. So it's nice to have depth there, don't get me wrong. But I wonder if we're going to sit here in October and look back and say, wow, if they had added one more arm, maybe this team would be in the World Series. Like that's right. Why I said before, the matchup dependent thing. Because if you go, let's just say you go against Detroit in a playoff series, they're one of the few teams that have an ace good enough to equal Garrett Crochet and Tarik Skubal, won the Cy Young last year, started the All-Star game this year. So normally you might think, hey, you'd win both games crochet pitches. Well, now it might be a split. And then they'd have, say, Casey Mize against Brian Bayo, which is advantage Detroit, or Reese Olson against Giolito, which, hey, Giolito's been really good the past couple months. That's still probably advantage Detroit. And then their fourth starter, who I know he's not having a great year this year, is Jack Flaherty, who just won a World Series and does have a history of pitching really well in Detroit if he can get back on track this year. So that's the issue. I think I'm concerned that we're going to sit here in October and it'll be a nice run, but we'll look back and say, man, if they could have just gotten that one more pitcher, maybe they'd be in the World Series instead of losing in the ALCS or the ALDS. And let's not forget, too, the teams around them. Like, I'm sitting here talking about the ALDS, ALCS. Seattle got a lot better, right? You mentioned Josh Naylor. Like, Seattle got a lot better. The Yankees, I know they haven't played well lately, but they did get better, added arms. So it was disappointing that they weren't able to do more. And look, I think they tried, but this has been a hallmark of the Red Sox, go, you know, on multiple GMs. I mean, you even go back to the best deadline acquisition that Chaim Bloom made was Kyle Schwarber, and even he was the discount version of Anthony Rizzo because they couldn't get Anthony Rizzo. Schwarber was hurt, and they ended up getting him, and it worked out brilliantly. Of course, they didn't keep him. It worked out brilliantly, though, but that was probably the last significant add they've made at a trade deadline, and that was 4 years ago, and they didn't do much in 22 and 23 at the deadline. Last year, they made several moves, but none of them ended up working, so this trade deadline thing has been an organizational problem, you could say, really since 2018 when they added Nate Eovaldi near the deadline and Pierce a month before. And it's something they really got to figure out, because if you look at Craig Breslow, the Crochet trade was great. The Chapman signing has been great. The Bregman signing, which I know was a lot to do with Alex Cora and Sam Kennedy from reports, but Breslow still did it. And that those guys are all stars, and it's been good. But for some reason, when the pressure came down to it at the deadline, a lot of other teams are able to get better, and the Red Sox are only able to get, you know, a little bit better.
Yeah, no doubt. John Lyons of WEEI joining us here on the Travis Thomas Experience. All right, let's talk Patriots. Were you there over the weekend for that scrimmage? I saw, I said that, you know, Vrabel kind of gave it like a Friday Night Lights vibe to it. He had to, you know, the coaches draft for the scrimmage each side. It was a fully padded practice. They didn't tackle. You know, Vrabel was throwing some kind of curveballs out there with like phantom penalties and all that kind of stuff. And then I was seeing reports that Ramondre Stevenson fumbled twice, which you can't even make this up. Your takeaways from the scrimmage over the weekend with the Patriots?
Yeah, so I was there Monday, Wednesday last week. I wasn't at the Friday practice, but I saw video of it and all the reports out there. And I think, you know, the big takeaway here is, you know, Mike Vrabel has really, I think, brought this team not back to what they were 5 or 6 years ago, because that'll never happen again, but he's brought this team to a significantly higher level than I think they were last year. Now, we'll see how many wins that translates into, but just being there, I'll be there again this week, a couple days, been to a few practices so far. Things just look sharper than they were a year ago. The team definitely is more talented, too. Feels like they're getting more of the little details right, obviously the Stevenson fumbles notwithstanding. But I found it really interesting the way he operated Friday night, and that he treated it almost like a full scrimmage. And we've seen for many years that practice, sometimes it was in full pads, sometimes it was in shoulder pads and shorts, but it was never, I feel like, as hard-hitting or as tough as what we saw Friday night, or at least not for a long time. Maybe several years ago it was, but not for a long time. And I think that's maybe something this team needed, right? This is still a very young team. You look at Drake May, only in his second year. Your left tackle is a rookie. One of your running backs is a rookie. You're hoping for big contributions from a lot of second and third year receivers, maybe even a rookie in Kyle Williams. Even Christian Gonzalez, who I know wasn't out there, he's your best player overall. He's only in his third year, right? So you have a lot of guys in their first, second, third year that this team is counting on. So I think, you know, as many live or close to live reps they can get in training camp, I think that's a good thing, right? Maybe with a veteran team, you don't need to do that as much. But again, we're talking about a team that has a lot of young guys that are expected to have big roles. So I think it's, again, as many live or close to live reps as they can get, I think it's a smart move by Vrabel.
Absolutely. Last one for you, brother, then I'll let you go. You know, I have to ask you about these trades. I mean, obviously, the big one's Micah Parsons. I can't even wrap my brain around what it would look like with Parsons, Milton Williams, Keon White, Barmore, Christian Gonzalez, Carlton Davis. I mean, this is like, if you get a Michael Parsons, you're throwing it back to the old school, you know, those early Tom Brady Super Bowl defenses when you had McGinnis and all those star players. That would be scary. And then, you know, the rumors are that the Patriots were interested in Parsons back in the day, trying to move up to get him anyways. So I have to imagine there's still people with the organization that's high on that kid. But so talk to me about Parsons, but also Terry McLaurin, possibly a Trey Hendrickson. Maybe Hendrickson, you don't have to ask as much in terms of the trade compensation, and he'd be a little cheaper than Micah, obviously a little older as well. Talk to me about all these potential stars who are available, John, that the Patriots could kick the tires on.
Yeah, I feel like every year in training camp you get a holdout or two or a trade request, but, I mean, this is three high-profile players, and in Parsons' case, a top-three defensive player in the league, all potentially either on the move, want to be on the move. We'll see what happens. And I think right now the Patriots probably have a top-10 defense. Maybe they're 10th or 11th, but they're in that neighborhood, I think, this year. They will be. You add Carlton Davis, you add Spillane, you add Milton Williams. I think Mike Vrabel and Terrell Williams are going to do a better job coaching that defense than what they got last year, too. But if you add Micah Parsons, all of a sudden, that puts you, you're a top three defense in the league. You know, we're talking about one of the best defensive players in the league right now. Guys already on a Hall of Fame track. Now, he's not quite there yet, but he's on that track in his career. So that would be massive. I just think the price, I don't see them doing that. And that if you look at the trade for Khalil Mack, when he went from the Raiders to the Bears, that was two first-round picks, a third-round pick, a sixth-round pick for Mack in a second. I don't see the Patriots giving up multiple firsts and a third. And maybe they'll prove me wrong, but I just don't see it when they already, again, none of their defensive linemen are nearly as good as Micah Parsons, but it is a relatively strong unit, especially against the pass. So it's not like they have a huge hole there either. I think Terry McLaurin is actually the more realistic guy and the one I would target, because I think it'll take a second-round pick, maybe a second in a future third or fourth, plus the contract, which would be more than worth it in both cases, because the contract you give McLaurin would not be that different from what they offered Brandon Ayuk last year or Chris Godwin this offseason. So they've already shown a willingness to offer that kind of money. They just couldn't get the guys to agree for it or agree to it. And so I think you can offer McLaurin that similar money in that neighborhood, maybe a little bit more, in a second and a third, and he would walk in as a guy who's had 1,000 yards receiving in five straight years. And out of his catches last year, he had 56 catches alone for first downs last year. The most on the Patriots, Hunter Henry had 40 catches for first down. So we're talking about a huge upgrade on your offense. And I know the offensive line has been the biggest weakness on this team, and I understand you have to build from the inside out. I just think adding a guy like McLaurin would really – I don't want to say totally remake this offense, but it would give this offense a talent level that it probably hasn't had since Julian Edelman in 2019 in that offense. It's been a long time since they've had something like that. So I would be really, if I were them, I'd be really in on Terry McLaurin. I think the price would be right, but also I think the fit would be really strong. He'd be the best offensive player in years. And then we'd be talking about a team that last year had the worst receiving core in the NFL. Now with Terry McLaurin and Stephon Diggs, DeMario Douglas, now we're maybe talking about maybe in the middle of the pack to top half, which, again, it's not number one, but it would be a massive jump forward from what they had last year. And I think he's got three or four really good years left. He turns 30 in September.
Well, John, you know, I think the world of you, man. I think you're one of the best in the business, and I appreciate you coming on. We'll do it again soon. I'll actually be at Patriots camp on Wednesday, so keep your eyes open for me. I'd love to catch up with you there in person, man. And thanks for coming on The Experience, brother. You do a great job.
Always a pleasure, man. Thank you, and I hope to see you there at Pats camp this week.
My man. All right, hey, when we come back here on the Travis Thomas Experience, more NFL talk next at 5:30. We'll hear from Lucas Giolito as our Red Sox party continues here on The Experience. Travis Thomas Experience, WEEI. The Red Sox are making the most of their one shot, aren't they? Hey, we're having a Red Sox party until 6 p.m. I am here for another hour. Let's call it the Power Hour. Take a shot with me, would you? 617-779-7777. 7937. I'm talking Patriots. We're having Red Sox parties. We got all the business here on the Travis Thomas Experience. You can also follow me at Travis Thomas Experience on Twitter and Instagram. At 5 o'clock, I'll give you my predictions for the AFC East and beyond in the NFL. At 5:30, we'll hear from Lucas Giolito as the Red Sox party continues here on The Experience. And before I get out of here at 6, I will gamble so heavily on college football, it'll make your head spin. Get in this party. We're turning up, baby. Travis Thomas Experience Power Hour coming next. Travis Thomas Experience on WEEI.